Morning, prior to the service, the session met, and we received a new member into our congregation. I'd like to introduce him to you. Bob Goodbread, please stand up. We welcome you into our congregation. How many of you were here for the zombie sermon? There are a lot of walking dead out there, spiritually speaking especially. Let's pray for this message because we're going to deal with some of that today. Lord, I ask that you would speak to us concerning our own spiritual life today, whether we're talking collectively as a church or families or as individuals, and I ask that you would use the words I speak to enlighten all of us. In Jesus' name, amen. A lot of so-called Christians are in fact just dead people because they really have never experienced the living presence of Jesus in their life. We're in a series called, I'm pushing the reset button, and so it's kind of like taking inventory of where we are as we move into our future, and so this one has to do with who we are as a church, but spiritually as well. Next couple of weeks, I'm going to kind of give you some individual things to look at, so to speak. But I want you to think about how alive Jesus has been in you and is in you right now. Are you alive in Christ Jesus, or are you just another dead person, spiritually speaking? I would like for us to begin by reading Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 43. Now, you're going to notice that verse 40 has a bunch of question marks down beside it. And there is that verse 40 is down at the bottom. And this is just a little bit of intellectual knowledge for you. There, when they put the Bible together, not all the ancient groups had this verse 40 in it. So they leave it out of the Bible in some ways, and they usually put an asterisk down at the bottom and say, this was in there. You will see this, and I'm not sure why they left it out, but my speculation would be that it was redundant. And so I put it down there so at least you know about it. So let's read this together. As they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. But they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Okay, then you can stick that one verse in there if you want to, but it doesn't matter. Now, as you look at this scripture, this is after the resurrection. And he says, listen, you guys got some doubts here in your mind? Look at my hands and feet and see it myself. And I do think he took a piece of fish and ate it just to show that he was actually there. He says, basically saying, check my vital signs and see if I'm really alive. You know, if I were to take two dead bodies and lay them up here on the floor, we would all know that they were dead. But they wouldn't know it because they're dead. But if by the power of God we were able to raise one of them from the dead, that person would sit up and would know that they were alive, and they would also know that the person laying next to them was still dead. But that person wouldn't know. Now, I want to talk to you today about some spiritually alive people and possibly somebody here who is spiritually dead as well. Now, when I'm talking to you, the catch in all this is those who are dead don't know it. That they don't know it. I don't raise the dead, so here we are. And I guess I want to talk to those of us who can hear, because you are alive spiritually, born again, raised from the spiritual dead. So let's check the vital signs of a spiritually alive person today or church. Now, there are different ways that you can test out whether a person is really alive physically. The medical profession tells us that the vital signs are things like respiration and a pulse and a heartbeat, temperature, and something they call response. There are different ways you can test out whether you are alive spiritually or not as well, and whether Jesus' presence in your life has changed you as well. One sign is whether you worship a dead martyr or a living presence. It's crucial whether or not you know the living Lord or whether you just know about Him. And just like we have vital signs that tell us whether our body is alive, we also have vital signs that we can check to see if the body of Christ as a whole, like a congregation, this congregation or any congregation, or each of us as individuals, are alive spiritually. So are you alive or are you dead? If it was 30 years ago, I would say, are you alive or are you Memorex? One of the ways that is to know is whether you can truly hear me this morning. Of course, if you can't, you won't know it because you're dead spiritually. So let's check the vital signs on our spiritual eyes. One of the signs that is checked to see if a person is alive or not is called respiration, breathing. We check to see if breath is going in and out of a body. When Jesus came out of the grave that first Easter and then became a living presence with his disciples, it made them different people. Well, our spiritual breath is the Holy Spirit working in us. Read with me John chapter 20, verses 19 to 22. Here we go. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They received spiritual breath, and it made them different peoples. Some accused them at that time of them being drunk. Later, many were nicknamed fools for Christ. Others said they were all crazy. They were excited and alive that they had to share the risen Lord with other people. That was a sign of new life in them. Now, the second part of this Luke 24 passage, let's read it together. This is after he showed him his hands and feet. Here we go. "Then he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high.'" Look at verse 48. It says, "You are witnesses of these things." And so when new disciples were selected, they were witnesses to the resurrection. Has your life changed since you experienced the resurrected Christ in your life? Have you had the Holy Spirit breathed on you by Jesus? If you have, you know that the Christian faith is a lot like the common cold. You either catch it or you're a carrier of it. It's kind of like a holy infection. A stranger came into a doctor's office and said, "You know, I just dropped in to tell you how much I benefited from your treatment." And the doctor replied, "But you're not one of my patients." He said, "I know, but my uncle was, and I'm his heir." Sometimes our witness is so dull, we seem like dead bodies instead of a living presence without the life of Christ in us. If Christ is alive in you or us as a church, he will be noticed. He will be obvious to other people who see the way you live and make up your priorities and live out your Christian faith. This is like respiration in our lives. We breathe in the Holy Spirit as Christ breathes on us. And we breathe out a living faith that is vital and alive. And so it's breath. You live it. Another vital sign is the heartbeat or our pulse. And this has to do with the blood racing through your body. One of the vital signs of the living presence of Jesus with the disciples was in the way they got together. They shared meals. They studied the scripture. They worshiped with one another. In this scripture reading in Luke, just before what I read, the two disciples that were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, Jesus walks with them. When they get to the end of that and they sit down and Jesus breaks the bread and he disappears, they say to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Did not our hearts burn within us? How alive is the body of Christ in this church building today? How alive are you as part of the body of Christ this morning? Now, Easter came on the first day of the week, and ever since that event, the followers of Jesus have gathered on Sunday mornings to worship him, to be with him. The risen Christ, if he is alive in you, will cause a certain burning sensation in your heart which says that he is alive. You know, on Easter, churches get filled. And the thing about that is, you got a lot of people who come and worship with their mouths and not with their hearts. It's something that you do. But for a lot of times when those kinds of things happen, they are not alive spiritually. There are a lot of dead people who come to church, spiritually speaking. They worship the Lord with their lips, but it's not in their hearts. If the risen Christ lives in you, it is written on your hearts. And there is a pulse in your body that tells you that Jesus is really present. One of the dangers of doubts and disbeliefs that Thomas had was because he wasn't with other believers when Jesus showed up. You know, we need to experience the risen Lord if we are to come to life. And you know how you do that? We do that experience in the Christian community. I read about an unusual custom in an English church, and actually this is not just one church. A lot of churches used to do this. At the end of each pew, there was a tall candlestick. And when the family that customarily uses that pew is ushered in, then they would light the candle at the end of that pew. When the family wasn't present, the pew would remain dark. Now, obviously, the amount of light in a church was determined by the number of families who were present at the worship service, and this was before they had electric lights, so it made a difference. Whether or not we come to worship is more than a decision about our busyness at home or even work. It's usually a desire to do other things. That's what really takes us away from worship. And we are part of the pulse. We are part of the heartbeat of the body of Christ. And one of the vital signs that communicates to the rest of the people around us whether Jesus is really out of the grave and alive or not is when we make it a priority of worship. If we don't make worship a priority, then chances are the life of Christ in us is weak or non-existent, or we are just dead people, spiritually speaking. I remember growing up, my brother and I would whine about going to church, and my dad said, "We're not going to church to listen to the preacher. We're going to show up to be witnesses." One of the things that I know is when you show up, You are witnessing to one another about the reality of who Jesus is. It's just like that scripture says right here. You are witnesses of these things, and you are witnesses to one another. Jesus gave us another test. He said it in John chapter 14. Let's read it together. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Now, in other words, if Jesus is really alive, we keep the great commandments, which is how we love God. How we love heart, soul, mind, and strength, our neighbor as ourselves. Then we will see him. That's what he promised. Do you know that the world cannot see Jesus? For most of the world out there, God is a myth. Because the world is dead to sin and not alive spiritually, so they cannot see the truth. But a person who is alive spiritually will see Jesus if they keep the commandments. As it says in this one verse, a vital sign of spiritual life is a matter of obedience to Jesus' commands and a life lived in submission to him. If Jesus is really alive in us, we will obey Jesus' commands and minister to people. And when we do, we will see Jesus. A vital sign of spiritual life is being concerned about people, no matter who they are, their condition, or their problems. When John the Baptizer's disciples went to Jesus to see if he was the real thing, Jesus told them, he says, you go back home and you tell John what you see. And what they saw was that the blind were healed, the lame walked, the poor were ministered to, the maimed were healed. You know, the ministry of this congregation is just that. We use one of the things that we use for that is the ministry of the great banquet. And Jesus is manifest there. And he's also manifest here this morning. When people get done with the great banquet, they go home and they tell people what they see. They see the maimed healed. Those are people who have something killed in their lives, cut off or amputated from them. And they come out. And God has healed them of that. They see the blind come to sight. You know, people who are literally blind can come to sight, but you know, a lot of us are just plain blind. So I can't see how God could change my life or change this situation. And we just can't see. And we're blind to the possibilities. People come and they are poor in spirit. They're dried up on the inside. God pours his latter rain upon them, the Holy Spirit, and people are filled who are poor in spirit. People come and they are lame. They may not walk with a physical limp, but they may walk with an emotional limp because something in them has hit them really hard and crippled them up. And people come who are lame and they get healed. You know, our ministry is really Christ's hands and feet and voice in what we do. It's Christ alive in us. As Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, if you love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will show up. It is Christ alive in us. It is one of the great vital signs of the church. When people are healed and fed and clothed and comforted, convicted by the Holy Spirit, taught by the Holy Spirit, and some brought to know Jesus first as Savior and begin that journey of making him Lord of their lives, it is a vital sign that the risen Christ is present in us. The medical profession has another vital sign, which they call response. You ever sat out there and they've hit your knee and your leg jumps? That's called a response. It's a knee-jerk reaction. It checks out how people respond to stimuli. You know, you can beat a dead body and get no response. If you see a weekend in Bernie's, they just beat the snot out of him, and he never made any kind of response because he was dead. But if you hit a living person, you're going to get a response. Medically, if a person can talk and answer questions, whether they say ouch when you pinch them or just how much they respond is to what they see and hear around them is important in terms of life. And certainly this also should be a vital sign of a spiritual life. The way we test if Jesus really came back from the dead on Easter morning and lives in us. Or is he still in the grave? One of the ways that we can test if he is alive in us or not, if we are alive in Christ and responding, is what we do with our money. You know, our Lord told us that that to have him with us meant a new set of priorities for living, really. Let's read Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Here we go. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, whether moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He told us not to save riches for ourselves here on earth where robbers can break in and steal. He alerted us to the fact that our heart will always be where our riches are. So if Jesus is really alive in us and with us, our use of money will reflect the Spirit of God. And so our offerings will say something about our life in Christ. It always has. If our giving is not done with a sense of joy and fulfillment, purpose and generosity, then our spiritual life may be suffering sickness. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If your treasure is in this world, then you are of this world. If your treasure is the living Christ who is Lord, then your stewardship will be purposeful, it will be intentional, and you will pay attention. Whether we're talking about your time, talents, or treasure, will reflect the true state of your life. What kind of vital signs does your life reflect in response to the love of God in Jesus Christ? As I said, we're pushing the reset button here. We're taking inventory. We're looking where we are. And that's what this is about. A doctor was taken to a patient's room. It came down in a few minutes, asked for a screwdriver. And the husband was there, and his wife was in there with him. And 5 minutes later, the doctor came back and asked for a can opener. And soon after that, he returned. He said, "Get me a chisel and a hammer." And the husband couldn't stand it any longer. He says, "Doc, what's wrong with my wife?" And the doc said, "Don't know yet. Can't get my bag open." Our response to Christ living in us is often to open our bags and billfolds and respond to the needs of people around us, to carry out the ministry of Christ alive in us. But sometimes we're kind of like the doctor here. We have to use tools to pry open our own bags and billfolds, because we have them locked up so tight. I believe that the practice of serious stewardship is a direct vital sign of the living Christ in any congregation and in any individuals and families. Depending on the given situation and the congregation or individual, it sometimes appears as though we have a dead Savior on our hands, or at least one that is in a coma and getting weaker. Either that or we are dead spiritually and we don't know it. We live in a society where cash is king. It is also a sign of whether Christ is king in us or whether cash is king. And how we spend, how we use our financial resources, how we do things. Christ calls us to be good stewards. Some say this vital sign should never be mentioned from the pulpit. And yet, if you read the Bible where Jesus was walking on this earth, 2/3 of the Lord's stories have to do with this very subject. Why is that? It's a matter of who is Lord of your life, your money or Jesus. Who is our God? Is Christ in us or not? It is a vital sign of response of us as a congregation of Christ alive in us, and also for each of us individually. Our response determines his aliveness in us. I hate to say it, but some of us give as if we're buying a spray of flowers for a casket at a graveside service of Jesus rather than supporting a living and vital Lord in what he's working and walking with us today. A guy by the name of A.J. Gossip said, "You will not stroll into Christ's likeness with your hands in your pockets, shoving open the door with a careless shoulder. This is not a hobby for one's leisure moments, taken up at intervals when we have nothing much to do and put down and forgotten when life grows full and interesting. Very often in our daily Christian life, we are guilty of living by really a comparative religion. Our giving, our doing for Christ are carefully measured by what others around us are doing or giving. Instead, we need to realize that our stewardship is a life of a life is a gift from God. It's one thing that we do individually as families, as stewards. We have opportunity to use all that he's given us. And it's not just about what you give. It's about what you do with what you have as well. I suggest you not compare yourself with other Christians. Do what Christ calls you to do. And do you, when you give your offering, sense the living Christ in you? What about your service in ministry through the work of the church? Your daily walk, does your service in ministry reflect the living Christ? Or does your life and giving say you still have him buried someplace? So giving is one of those vital signs because it's the response that we make. Now, I talk about money today because we understand it, don't we? Or at least we think we do. Money represents our lives. It's our language, our way of life. So it definitely reflects a vital sign of spiritual life called response. Response of the living body is how we respond to all that God has given us. When you're asked to serve in a special way, maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's working with some of our youth. Maybe it's helping out with a vacation Bible school, which we had in June. It might be serving on a banquet team. It might be standing up here worshiping or playing an instrument. It might be an officer of the church. Other things that come our way over as we live our lives together. How do you respond? You see, the test of life is continually applied to the body to see if it's alive and vibrant or dead and weak. You see, you can be alive one week and be dead the next week or weaken the next week. And so you test yourself all the time. One other test of life has to do with your words and your actions. It talks about behavior. I just did this study in Amos. We're going to tie it off in a couple weeks. But one of the things that you'll notice about Amos is God has a serious understanding of behavior. Our Lord said, be kind, good to one another, love one another. Have you done that? The God that couldn't stay killed on Calvary is a God of love. That love ought to radiate from us as a congregation, from us as individuals. You may be the only Jesus some people will ever see. You know, if you continue to gossip, to judge and slander and put the worst possible light on people's actions and words, is Christ really alive in us? Or has he been killed in us again? And we may need another Easter in our own lives. If someone is checking the vital signs of the risen Christ and sees that kind of attitude, that person will be sure he is dead and never came out of the grave. Today we applied medical vital signs to test if Christ is alive in us spiritually. You can check the pulse. You can check your respiration. You can check for response. You decide, is he alive and in us as a congregation? Is he alive and in you as an individual? Of course, if you're dead, you might need a resurrection. And the other thing is, if you're dead, you can't hear me. There is no response. And so I'll leave you with that as we push the reset button on our life as individuals and as a congregation. Let's pray. Lord, you know us. You brought us here. And in our worship and in this time together, speak to our hearts concerning our relationship with you right now and where we've been. And I ask it in Jesus' name.